Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at a really quite a chilling case, actually. Jennifer Cook, trusted bookkeeper,
Right.
siphoned over $2.2 million from a small business over a decade.
Just staggering.
Yeah. So our mission today really is to unpack how she did it, understand this whole world of occupational fraud, and crucially, give you some actionable insights, things you can use to protect your own business.
Exactly. We're taking this awful story and turning it into, hopefully, a practical guide for survival for your business, showing you the red flags, sure, but also how to build, you know, real defenses.
Okay, so let's dive in. Jennifer Cook, trusted employee. How does someone steal $2.2 million right under the owner's nose? And I'm really interested in this bit. How did it end up as a federal case, not just local theft?
Yeah, that's a key distinction. So the core crime was embezzlement. That means fraudulently using property that was lawfully entrusted to her. As the bookkeeper, she had legitimate access.
Right. She was supposed to handle the money.
Exactly. But she abused that trust. She wrote unauthorized checks to herself, paid her personal bills, used company funds, basically, and then created fake records to cover it up. It falls under asset misappropriation, you know, theft, or misuse of company assets. It's actually the most common type of employee fraud.
Okay, so that's the embezzlement, the local crime. But then federal wire fraud charges land on her doorstep. How does that jump happen?
Ah, that's the modern element, really. Wire fraud involves, well, first a scheme to defraud, obviously, but also the use of interstate electronic communications to pull it off.
Like online banking.
Precisely. Online banking, QuickBooks, electronic transfers, anything digital that crosses state lines, even just electronically. So when Cook, say, manipulated the QuickBooks files online or maybe deposited a fraudulent check electronically. Yeah. Those actions created what they call the jurisdictional hook. It pulls the case into the federal system. It means, honestly, almost any big internal financial fraud today, it can easily become a federal felony because everything's connected electronically. And, you know, this isn't just some weird one-off case. Occupational fraud. It's like a silent epidemic. Estimates suggest organizations lose about 5% of their annual revenue to it.
5%? That's huge across the board.
It is. But here's the thing. Small businesses, we're talking fewer than 100 employees, they get hit disproportionately hard. The median loss for them is around $150,000 per incident.
Wait, hang on. $150,000 median loss for small business? That could be fatal.
Oh, absolutely devastating.
I mean, imagine pouring your life into building something just for it to potentially collapse because someone inside betrayed that trust. That's a gut punch.
It is. And the stats back it up. Nearly 30% of all business failures linked to employee theft in some way.
Wow. So, okay, what were the warning signs? In Cook's case, or just generally, what should you as a business owner be looking out for?
Right. Well, there's this concept, the fraud triangle, which helps explain the why. It talks about pressure, rationalization, and the one piece you can actually control, opportunity.
Okay.
And Cook, she exploited every bit of opportunity she had. So things to watch for. Behavioral red flags are big. Employees suddenly living way beyond their means. New cars, lavish trips.
Okay. Makes sense.
Or, and this was the key in Cook's case, refusing vacations. Think about that.
Refusing vacations, why?
Because if they're not there, someone else might have to do their job, right?
Yeah.
Cook's scheme ran for a decade. It was only discovered because she finally took some time off and someone else had a look at her books.
Unbelievable. So never taking a break is actually suspicious.
Highly suspicious in financial roles. And then there are financial red flags. Altered records, maybe duplicate payments showing up, lots of voided transactions, things. Cook used to hide what she was doing.
So bringing this back to prevention, what's the most critical step? You mentioned controlling opportunity.
Yeah, the single most important control, hands down, is segregation of duties.
Meaning
no one person should control a financial transaction from beginning to end. You split up the tasks. Mm. The person who approves payments shouldn't be the same person who writes the checks or reconciles the bank account.
What about really small teams where, you know, you might only have one person doing the books?
That's a common problem. In that situation, you, the owner, have to step in and become what's called a compensating control.
Okay. What does that look like practically?
It means you get the bank statements directly from the bank, unopened, not handed to you by the bookkeeper. You sign all the checks. And before you sign, you look at the supporting documents, the original invoice, the purchase order, make sure it's legit.
Right. Active oversight.
Active informed oversight. Also, learn to use the audit trail feature in your accounting software, like QuickBooks. It shows who changed what and when. and enforce mandatory vacations for anyone handling finances. Seriously, make them take the time off. Now, let's talk about the aftermath because it's pretty harsh. Cook got 36 months in federal prison, okay, and a $2.2 million restitution order.
So the business gets its money back.
That's the tough part. The U.S. Department of Justice itself says victims' chances of actually getting full recovery are, quote, very low.
How low is low?
Think less than a dollar recovered for every $10 owed, often much less. The courts hand out punishment, prison time, yes, but getting your stolen money back, that rarely happens in full.
So counting on the courts to make you whole after the fact, that's just not a viable strategy for a business, is it?
It's a failed strategy, plain and simple. The only winning move truly is prevention. Stop it before it starts.
Yeah. What really stands out to me from this whole Jennifer Cook story is just how critical vigilance is. You need that healthy dose of professional skepticism, plus those robust internal controls we talked about. It's not optional, really. It's essential for survival.
Absolutely. Being proactive, reviewing your financial processes regularly, actually using the security features in your software, and questioning that idea of blind trust, that's your strongest defense. It's how you avoid becoming the next, cautionary tale.
So, final thought for you to maybe mull over. Looking at your own business right now, where might that blind trust be inadvertently creating a really costly opportunity?